Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Suffolk County District Attorney Kevin Hayden is announcing a new approach to enforcement today, specifically targeting those arrested in and around the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnea Cass Boulevard, or Mass and Cass, in Boston. Anyone arrested there for crimes that may have a root in mental illness or substance use may have the option to receive treatment instead of going to court and facing a possible jail sentence. This news comes in the wake of the temporary closure of Boston's engagement center in that area after five stabbings were reported in around the center in and around the center last week. We get the latest on all of that from WBOR's Deborah Becker in the first of a new weekly conversation that we'll be having on the show called From the Newsroom. Our intent there is to kind of dive into some of the work happening in and from our reporters, not only what's happening now, but how it fits into how they think about the stories and beats that they cover. Deb, it is really fun to have you for the first of these. Thanks for coming back and joining us here on Radio Boston.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, so I do want to start in a very serious place here. You covered the closure of the Boston Engagement Center last week after these five stabbings. What is the latest on that front? Have they reopened? When will they reopen? What do we expect?
The engagement center is scheduled to reopen tomorrow. It was closed for 5 days. City officials are still talking about what measures might be in place tomorrow. The center was already operating with a reduced limit on the number of people allowed inside. It's likely that that will be capped to about 80 people when it reopens. But there are a lot of discussions going on at the moment in terms of how to ensure safety at the center when it reopens.
So my understanding is that the center's been servicing about 300 people a day. It's been pretty important for those seeking services after the city removed tents from the streets in January. Chris, you were there when some of those tents were removed. We talked with you live at the time. So talk more about the role that the center has been playing in the area since then.
Well, the center opened officially in a brick and mortar building. It was basically under a large tent near the homeless shelter on Atkinson and Southampton Street. So it opened in a brick and mortar building in December in a new building. It provides a variety of services aside from a place to get warm. It offers bathrooms, showers, laundry, meals. There's a doctor on site with Boston's Healthcare for the Homeless program. The doctor helps with wound care and other medical issues. The center provides referrals to addiction and mental health treatment. It helps people look into getting some sort of either temporary housing or moving toward permanent housing. And it has also referrals to other social services. And since it closed 5 days ago almost now, outreach workers have been trying to provide some of these services on the streets to the people who are in the area. But I'm told that there has been a dramatic reduction in the ability of people to get services, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, with the list of the various supports that you just talked about, it's not like you just go somewhere else and there's a one-stop place to get those things. Now we have this news today from Suffolk County DA Kevin Hayden. We talked about it at the top there, this approach to services instead of prosecution in certain cases. What do you make of the approach? It's called services over sentences.
Yeah. Well, it's an approach that's already being used, right? To some degree. Hayden's committing $400,000 from his office's asset forfeiture fund, and that's money from the seizure of illegal drugs. And the money would be specifically for programming for those charged or accused of crimes in the Mass and Cass area. The money would pay for the first year of the program. It would be used for a program coordinator, two recovery coaches, a clinician, and office equipment, according to DA Hayden. The program's run with the North Suffolk Mental Health Association. And the way it would work is that only those accused of nonviolent crimes would be eligible, and it would be up to prosecutors to determine who might be able to participate. If someone is deemed eligible, they would go to treatment and they could possibly have charges dismissed, so no incarceration, no criminal record. If this happens post-arraignment and someone is considered for this services over sentences program, participation in the program might mitigate a sentence.
And I got the sense in the little bit that I learned about this, Deb, in preparing for today, that Hayden finds it satisfying that you might use asset forfeiture money in order to do something like this.
Right. His press release did say that this is, this is an appropriate use of this money. It's money from the seizure of illegal drugs, and it should be used. And this, geographic area needs help, and there should be targeted funding to help in that area.
So, Deb, you mentioned that prosecutors will be the ones to determine who could opt to participate in the program. Are there concerns? Could it be murky to figure out which crimes are rooted, I don't love that word, but rooted in mental illness or substance use? Who can, should, and will qualify here?
Right. Of course, it's a tough determination because, so many crimes are rooted in mental illness and drug use. Most of the violence that prompted the closing of the Engagement Center and of Atkinson Street last week was because of fights over drug money. But this is an approach that law enforcement and the courts are increasingly using because they found that they're just arresting people over and over again for minor crimes. And then if you don't provide services, this is just an expensive cycle, really.
So, Deb, you've covered this a lot. What are you hearing from folks in terms of the city's latest actions? What's been happening over the last couple of weeks? What are you hearing?
Several advocates I spoke with are concerned. They've been asking the city to use a public health approach to the Mass and Cass area. City officials have said they are committed to doing that. I spoke with an advocate last week, and he accused city officials of punishing people in need of services based on the actions of a few because the Engagement Center and its services were closed off. On the other hand, there does appear to be more violence in that area. I'm told that dozens of people were crowded on the nearby streets there just this morning. Two tents were taken down this morning. And we should point out that Mayor Wu removed the last of the large tent encampment there in January and promised to provide housing. Dozens of people were placed in housing or shelters. So I think it's a wait and see at this point. That was January. The concern now is what's going to happen when the weather gets warmer.
And I guess I wonder, both with the stabbings, with the response from the city, I'm sure there were lots of predictions of positive and negative outcomes after the city took their steps. You've been watching this closely. Do you see the violence of last week as an aberration? And do the things that are unfolding echo any predictions from any of the players in this mix over the last few months?
Well, I think it's something that folks have always been concerned about. What I've heard from people who frequent the area is that there is increased gang presence there because of drugs. Mm. It is still an open-air drug market, essentially. The Boston Public Health Commission has hired an outside security firm to patrol the area around the Engagement Center, but there's still a significant amount of drug activity. This area, the Mass and Cass area, is still home to many social service programs that are concentrated in just a few blocks. So you have business leaders and others saying other communities should be incentivized to provide some of these services. So they're spread out. They're not all in this one neighborhood of Boston. Some business leaders have asked the state to step in, and they've suggested punishing communities if they don't offer services to their residents. So there is more of a regional approach to addiction and mental health.
Deb, this is our From the Newsroom. We get a chance to help our listeners hear what it's like for our reporters to cover their beats. This has been a very tough few years in that area with homelessness and addiction. What's it been like for you to cover all of this?
I think I would say there's so much sadness, right? There are so many people affected by addiction and mental health issues, especially when the tent encampment had grown to include hundreds and hundreds of people, and they were people from all over. It was a really diverse group of people, all ages, races, socioeconomic backgrounds. And so, you know, it was folks struggling with addiction, mental illness, folks who had criminal records and had difficulty finding a job that would pay the bills. I remember one conversation really sticks with me, Tiziana. I ran into this young man. His name was Chris, and I knew that his family was looking for him because I follow families on Facebook who are looking for loved ones in the Mass and Cass area, because many are. You know, when the tents were proliferating, folks were saying, do you know if my family member's down there? Are they safe? And I spoke with Chris, and he just became so emotional, and he said, you know, I'm not immoral. I'm not doing anything wrong. I've just relegated myself to being opioid dependent for the rest of my life, and I'm just constantly diffusing a bomb so I don't get sick. And he was very sad about that, and he said, you know, this is my life, and I've accepted that, and this is how I'm going to live, and I want to. And it was just tragic, because you could tell it wasn't something he wanted either.
Wow, Deb, thank you for sharing that story. One thing you're going to watch in the next couple months?
I think I'll watch how the engagement center is monitored. They're talking about possibly putting metal detectors in, and what kind of security might be provided there. And other, you know, obviously, as we said, once the weather gets warmer, it's likely that people will return to that area and find a way to stay.
Deb Becker, WBUR reporter, thank you so much for joining us from the newsroom.
You're welcome.